Lesson 23.2, continuously improve with deliberate practice. Senior executives gravitate towards people who are at the top of their profession, and you get that level of skill through what is called deliberate practice. For example, we go to a lot of client meetings, but how often do we actually break down the specific performance elements that go into a great meeting and rehearse them and perfect them? Well, a great deal of research shows that deliberate practice is the key to mastery. When the celebrated guitarist Andrés Segovia was in his early 80s, a journalist was interviewing him about his unrivaled career as the world's best classical guitar player. He said to Segovia, "I suppose that at your age and at this stage of your career, you no longer have to practice scales." Segovia apparently looked up at the reporter and said, "I practice my scales for 2 hours each morning." An excellent book on this subject, by the way, is called Talent is Overrated by Fortune senior editor Jeff Colvin. He summarizes much of the research that compellingly demonstrates that practice, not innate talent, is what leads to mastery in most fields. There are four principal characteristics of deliberate practice. First, isolation. Great performers isolate very specific aspects of what they do and practice them until they are improved. Think of a tennis champion practicing a particular type of serve again and again, or the musician who practices the same difficult passage 20 or 30 or 40 times in order to master it. In business, this might mean actually rehearsing different elements of a sales presentation several times each, rather than just winging it, as people say. If isolation is the first step towards mastery, repetition is the second one. A high degree of repetition is essential to improve each aspect of performance. It's not uncommon for master practitioners to repeat the same steps or movements hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of times in order to raise their skill to true mastery levels. Michael Jordan, considered by many the greatest all-around basketball player in history, used to pick a different shot or move each year and practice it relentlessly for the entire year. Third, feedback. That's why musicians have teachers, athletes have coaches, and professionals have mentors. Think back to that tennis champion practicing the same serve over and over. Well, most likely he's being videotaped and his or her coach is watching closely to provide the objective feedback that they cannot give themselves. The importance of objective feedback can't be overestimated. Lots of people practice, some for years and years, but they never improve very much. It has to be the right kind of practice, and to achieve that, you need feedback. Just because you've been a salesman or engineer for 10 years doesn't necessarily mean that you've mastered your craft or that you're getting better. Substantive, continuous improvement requires isolation, repetition, and objective feedback. The fourth key characteristic of deliberate practice is that it's difficult because of the intense concentration and focus that's required. As they say, nobody got in terrific shape by sitting on an exercise cycle for 10 or 15 minutes while they lazily pedal and read the paper at the same time. If your training or practice is easy and makes no demands on you, you may want to reconsider the intensity and focus of what you're doing. There's another particular characteristic of high performers who achieve mastery. They engage in what is called metacognition. What that means is that while they are in the midst of actually performing, they are able to observe themselves and what's going on around them. In practical terms, imagine you're in a large client meeting with two of your colleagues and five clients. As you're presenting to the group, you're able to both present and discuss your material and survey the room and assess how people are reacting, possibly using that information to adjust the flow of your presentation. You're also able to gauge your own performance and make observations about how you're doing. That's metacognition. Imagine if you could have a videotape of your next five client meetings so that you and some colleagues could critique your performance and make recommendations for change. Maybe you can't do that, but you could rehearse your next important presentation in front of several colleagues and get their feedback. So the essence of deliberate practice is continually stretching yourself beyond your current abilities. Here's a challenge for you, which you can explore in the application exercise for this lesson that's in the workbook. Which of your client development and relationship building skills do you really need to work on? Which ones do you think you need to isolate and sharpen using deliberate practice techniques? Becoming a person of interest is definitely a balance sheet activity. That is, most of the strategies I've been talking about are investments you need to make, which will pay off handsomely in the medium to long term. But at the same time, you will experience short-term benefits. For example, putting yourself more squarely at the crossroads of the market you work in will mean getting out and meeting more people in your sector. It will push you to get more face time with past, current, and potential future clients, and that will produce immediate benefits for you. So while this is a long-term journey, you'll also get rewards every step of the way.